Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
We shall be looking at the peculiarity of the end time ministry and the challenge it holds for the ministers of this day. The challenge of the end time upon our lives as God's servants. I would like to begin this morning by reading a couple of passages, several of which you are very familiar with, but I want to do that in order to set the tone for the issues that I perceive the Lord will be asking us to deal with. What is peculiar about the end time? Every time we talk about end time, the first thing that comes to our mind is to see all the negatives. But let me say to you that it is not only the negatives that characterize the end time. The end time is going to be a time of glory. And at the same time, it will come with its own challenges. So I want us to read Joel chapter 2. If you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Joel and chapter 2, I'd like to read from verse 21. I'll just read those passages and I'll go on. Joel and chapter 2 from verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have taken, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never, never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Would you like to quickly, in the continuation of our passages we are reading this morning, would you like to turn to Haggai chapter 2? I want you to read Haggai and chapter 2 as well. I'm dealing with the peculiarities of this end time and the challenges it holds for the ministers of these days. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and walk. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. However, I would like you to see one more passage, so that when I begin to speak and I draw the balance of the peculiarity of the end time, why we see what we see and how we ought to respond as God's servants, now I will have been drawing you from all the various scriptures. Would you like to turn unto Timothy? I'd like you to read two passages in the book of Timothy dealing with the peculiarity of the end time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verse 1, verse 2 a bit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. That will be our last passage for consideration this morning. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Are you in 2 Timothy? Chapter 3, I'll read from verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Permit me to stop there. You can read the rest of those passages as we go ahead very quickly this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've just read to you several passages depicting what are the peculiarity of the end time. And the peculiarity of the end time is what dictates what we see in our day and what we are likely to see in the coming days. And because of that, it is very necessary and incumbent upon us to prepare ourselves and to prepare God's servants, ministers of the Word of God in this end time to adequately get equipped to handle the conflicts, the contradictions that the end time will bring shortly before our Lord will appear in glory to take away those who belong to Him. Now, let me first say to you that one of the things about the end time is a promise of an outpouring. The end time is going to come with an outpouring. The end time is coming with the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of First Fruits, which is the Feast of Pentecost, has been on for many, many, many years. And Pentecost has gathered in several people into the kingdom of God. Pentecost has affected several of us, many of us sitting here by God's grace, and some of us who are on the stage preaching the gospel in these days. We were one of those first fruits when God poured out upon us the Feast of Pentecost. But the Feast of Pentecost was to initialize and to bring about, to bring to birth the church and to gather in the first fruits. How I wish to say to you that most all of you sitting here, in the light of what God is about to do in the end time, you will only be regarded as first fruits. Hallelujah. Something more glorious, something more elaborate, something more overwhelming is coming. And some of us, by God's grace, have been called to labor, to prepare, even to set the church, you know, ready for the Feast of Ingathering. That's the Feast of Open Heavens. That's the feast when everything else that is yet to be harvested, everything else that has been left on the field, will be brought in. So the end time is going to characterize, it's going to be characterized with an ingathering. Ingathering, incredible, incredible harvest of souls. Incredible increase of men and women seeking God, wanting to experience the grace of God in their lives. Some of you, you're already sensing it, you're already touching it. Some of us, we're already beginning to see that it looks as if the heavens have opened and God is pouring out pouring out his spirit upon his people. This is the character of the end time. It's going to be glorious. We haven't seen anything yet. What we have seen now is wonderful. But what God is about to do is far, 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 far beyond what you could imagine or think. Some of us, when God began to work with our Father in the Lord in this place, everything looked small. Everything appeared ordinary. But once God has spoken, he watches over his word to bring to pass. And as you come round, as you travel all over the country and several parts of the world, and you see what God has done through this ministry and through the obedience of his servant, you can only imagine that when God says a thing from his heart, nothing can stop him. He will bring it to pass. I told you yesterday that where you are is not the issue. Your level is not the problem. The young shall grow. Now the end time is coming with the season of supernatural growth, supernatural increase. Everything that will be happening, they will be happening in their multiples. Now, that we must prepare for. That those of us that are in God's service, we must prepare. We must enlarge our heart. We must enlarge our coast. We must anticipate and pray and believe God for what God is speaking, for what God is doing. Hallelujah. Permit me to remind you some of the things God said in Joel and some of what he said in Haggai, which I had read to you. But I want to remind you a bit of it. I'm not doing an exposition on all this today. I just like to keep you informed about what are the peculiar characteristics of the end time. That's why anybody who throws his net into any place, they will catch something. And that's a very big challenge. I'll be explaining to you. You see, when it rains, is it only the good seed that grows? What grows? Everything, including weeds. So when the time of outpouring comes, even weeds will grow. That's the challenge of it. Even things that we really don't want, they will also shoot out. The reason is because it is time for growth. Everything is going to grow. That's where I need to be instructing you this morning as I see the Lord wanting us to note. The first thing I see the Lord speaking is the assurance. The assurance he gives to his servants, the assurance he brings to ministers in this end time. He says, fear not. Fear not. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Tell somebody, the Lord will do great things. Now, you see, when we say like that, we are not just speaking positive confession. We are not just speaking so as to excite you. That is the truth. The Lord will do what? He will do great things. I want you to believe it. In this end time, the Lord will do what? Will do great things. God will do great things with your life. God will do great things in your ministries. God will do great things by your hand. The Lord will do what? Great things. That's very important. I want you to bear that in mind. I hear God saying that over and over and over. He has spoken so much in my little way, in my little understanding, in my little corner. I hear God confront me every day. I will do a great thing. the little shall become a thousand. The small one will become a clan. God will hasten it in his own time. And I want to inform you the time for God to walk, the time for God to favor Zion, the time for God to visit his people is now, is now, is now. I say it is now. Everything is going to break up. There's going to be an increase. The Lord will do great things. We have come to the season. You see, everything happens in its own season. And when you come to a season of divine harvest, you can't stop it. It's a season. There was a season when it was not for this. There was a season when it was just planting. There was a season we went everywhere from village to village, from one locality to another, preaching with all the strength we had. And all we could receive was stones that were thrown at us. In those seasons, we walked only with one slipper in our leg for months and for years. It wasn't as if God was not able to bless. Some people thought, well, it's a curse. There was no curse on our lives. We were only passing through a divine season. Now, some of you were not born in those seasons when we walked with God like that. So you don't understand what we talk about. All you were born into is a season of laughter, when everybody is laughing, when everybody is jumping, when you were wearing very big gele on your head. You were not born in those days when we our mothers just wore one hair tie for months and they were happily serving the Lord. Now, I want to inform you that it's a season. Now, when the season of harvest comes, even those that you don't expect to grow, they will just grow. They will just shoot forth. It's a season. And I'm looking at those who are a little older in the Lord, who walked with God in those days, those difficult times. It's not that they didn't pray, they prayed so well. Tears came out of their faces, and they were wetting the dry soil with the tears of their prayers. Some of them died without seeing anything. But heaven has welcomed them, they have gone home. Because it was not their season to see harvest. But now the season of harvest is here. The season when God is going to be doing things has come. May the Lord help us to handle that well in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because of this season, God said, I will do great things. Don't be afraid. For the pastures of the wilderness, they will spring. For the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine, they will yield their strength. That's the season. What used to be a wilderness before, they will spring forth. Things that were dry and brown, they will suddenly become succulent, they will become green. And a little effort will bring so much great results. Now, that is a very critical thing that I must say to you. I must remind you about that. It's a season. But it comes with responsibility. Now, when I finish describing this, I will need not to stop this message until I have brought you to see what then is the responsibility of the ministers in the end time. Now, God had promised, I wanted to see what he said, ye children of Israel, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. God has given us the former rain moderately. We have experienced moderate anointing. Well, it's not time to tell you stories this morning. But I want to inform you that we have walked in a moderate anointing. When they use the word moderate, my mind quickly went, how you moderate. How God gives you, a measure that you can you can handle, a measure that you can carry, so that you are not overwhelmed, so that you can grow well, so that you can learn personal spiritual disciplines. So that it's not that God did not have enough money in those days as to load you with millions. But no, He was training your appetite. He was preparing you for an enduring ministry. He didn't want you to develop pot belly before you grow tall. He doesn't want to bring you so much flood of blessing lest you are washed away. He has given us the former rain. How? Moderately. But listen, He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. God is going to be bringing double into our lives in this end time. He is able to do that. That's what the word of God is saying this morning. The floors shall be full of wheat. The fats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Is somebody believing God's word here this morning? Did you hear God saying, I will restore to you, the years that the locust have eaten. I will restore to you what the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, what they came to devour, the Lord is going to render back to you, and you shall eat in plenty, and you shall be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Now in the end time, all of this will happen. All of this, because God is faithful. God does not swallow His word. Whatever He says, He will bring it to pass. Oh, the Lord said, you will never be ashamed. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, God had given a promise of an outpouring. Say, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be a supernatural outpouring upon all flesh. All many shall come under the power of the Holy Spirit. Anointing will become common in the midst of His people. Your sons, your daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men, even old men will not retire, they will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even the servants, the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Praise the Lord. This was the passage that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. Yet when you study more closely, you find that he only quoted a little bit of what God said He was going to do. Because what started with them was just but a foretaste. God is bringing us now unto the end of the fullness of the prophetic word. We shall live to see it in the name of Jesus Christ. It's very, very great to be alive and to be in the ministry of the word of God at a time like this. Praise the Lord. And when you look at Haggai, God was simply saying, the end time is going to be a time of glory. That the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. One of the things that will happen in the end time ministry, which I want to quickly highlight before I leave, the Bible said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory. Now, when God speaks about shaking nations, maybe you thought it was a mere word. No, the end time is also going to be characterized with a divine shaking of nations. Strong nations that thought that they were formidable, that nothing can shake them, they will experience shakings. And all God was going to do is to turn the eyes of his people, turn the hearts of men towards him alone who holds the key for their deliverance. So as end time comes, we are going to see a lot of shakings. We are going to see a lot of very, very uncontemplatable challenges that different nations will be facing. But all of that, they are all part of the end time package. They are all the challenges that must come along, because God is going to do something with his body all over the world. Hallelujah. Do you know that in the end time, money will not be a problem? Do you know that some of you, you have started touching money? Eh? I can see some of you beginning to touch money. But that will not be a big issue. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. There will be not a problem with money to finance what God wants to do. God will be ready to lavish upon his people every resources that is needed to carry out his divine commission in the end time. Are we together? Are we together? Now, when all these things begin to come your way, when all these things begin to happen, I just want to remind you, it's for a divine purpose. It is because God is preparing his church for his glorious appearing. Now, that is now what leads us to what will be the challenge for those of us who are serving God and who will be serving God in these days that we are describing. Now, when you now turn to the book of Timothy, in the context of all that we have said in Haggai, in the context of all that we have said in Joel, and in several passages of the Word of God that talks about God releasing a great harvest for his son, and God preparing his church as a victorious, triumphant army that will march through the land and establish the glory of God. In the midst of that, the Holy Spirit did not keep quiet as regards what will be happening along the line. So let's look at this together. Because when I stand and I look at what God is doing, there's a lot of contradiction on one side, and yet there's a lot to glorify God about, isn't it? There's a lot of issues. You say, but why is this going on? But the Holy Spirit has spoken about it expressly. Can I quickly reflect with you the other things that will be happening in the end time? The reason why I'm doing that is so that you might not be caught in the web. You might not lose your crown in the web. The other thing that will be happening, and that's already beginning to happen, we need to reflect on it quickly so that as we pray together, you might take a decision individually. I'm not going to contaminate myself. I'm not going to lose my crown. The end time will not sweep me away. The outpouring of many things that will happen in these coming days will not make me to lose my focus. I will keep walking in the faith into which God has called me. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit of God is speaking how? Expressly. When you use the word expressly, that means the Spirit is speaking distinctly, is speaking so clearly, very strongly, very particularly. And these are issues that we cannot brush aside if we are ministers of the end time. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? From the faith. They will give attention unto seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. There are several doctrines that it is demons that have taught it. But I want you to hear me. Which platform do you think this thing will come from? They will also come from the pulpit. But because I told you this morning, honestly speaking, I have no space to settle down with you and begin to look at those things that the end time will bring about. I just want you to reflect on them. Sometimes I hear preachers preaching on the television. Sometimes I see them very, very highly celebrated. And when I look at the long and short of what they have said, I have not been able to trace it unto the total counsel of God. They are spoken very boldly, they are spoken very elaborately, and they have engaged modern psychology to be able to deliver what they are saying. And of course, because knowledge has increased according to the word of God, there's a lot that have been put together, but these are doctrines that demons teach. These are doctrines that have come from the seducing spirits. Now, the Bible says, many will give attention to that. One of the things that you will see is that in this present day in which, though God is going to be moving, there's going to be a lot of outpouring of the Spirit of God. Weeds, unwanted weeds, will also receive a kind of fertilization. They are also going to multiply. And they are also going to gather crowd. I want you to mark that, so that you don't get confused at all. There are things that the end time will carry along. And these men will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. They can actually craft and manufacture lies. What has never happened. They will bring it up and speak it with boldness in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Have you encountered that in these days? Eh? Have you seen people? Their lives are not right, but they are speaking lies in hypocrisy. Have you met preachers who changes their wives as if they are changing clothes? And they never feel ashamed at all. In fact, they try to doctrinalize their misbehavior. They make it to appear as if it's a new move. No, these are doctrines that demons teach. These are men who speak lies in hypocrisy. They can abandon their wives, the one that God gave them with 4 children, 5 children, 3 children. And they can move to another part of the country or move somewhere outside. And they are behaving as if they are champions. And they can enter into arranged marriages. But they are still preaching the gospel. Why would that be? That's what the end time comes along with. It comes with hypocrites speaking lies, having their conscience seared with hot iron. They bring about artificial doctrines. They raise all kinds of issues that you'll be wondering, how does that add to the salvation of souls? They just want to create a niche for themselves. Some just want to appear peculiar. So you see different people coming out, they announce their ministries, and I kept wondering, they say, the Lord has anointed and called him to do something. I say, to do what? These are things that are strange. It's not in the Bible. Jesus did not send us to do that. I wonder who is sending you nowadays. Now, that's the end time. That's the end time. I don't know whether you are with me. Are you with me? All right. Now, you can read all of that. I don't want to spend time on it because there's no space. Now, what again did the Bible say will begin to happen also in the end time? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers. They will love themselves. They will be covetous. They will be boasters. It bothers my heart. In time past, when we were studying this in the 70s, we thought that when the Bible says of this, it will only be happening outside the body of Christ. We thought it will only be happening among unbelievers. Only for me to wake up and realize that these things are right in the sanctuary. These things are things that we grapple with every time. And you are asking, oh God, where is this coming from? And the Spirit speaking expressly. These men will be proud. They will be unthankful. They will be unholy. They will be without natural affection. They can break covenants. They can break people's heart anyhow. They don't care. They are fierce. Very, very violent. Despisers of those that are good. High-minded, traitors, heady, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. All of this, the Bible said they have a form of godliness. There will always be a form of godliness. There will be a lot of speaking. Ah, it's painful to me to tell you. Some years ago, I went to look for, I was going for an interview to get a visa to one of the countries abroad where I was going to preach. And as I was sitting there, I just saw one man who suddenly became a pastor that morning. And he just took and said, yes, he had a vision this morning that you're going to get your visa. And he said all of that. And I said, ah, Lord, thank you that the gospel is really everywhere. So even when you go to embassies, somebody is preaching the gospel. When you go here, somebody just snatched me by my side and said, be careful. You don't know where he's going to land. You don't know. So in another few minutes, the message has finished and changed. And he said, now, since you are open to start spending dollars in the next few days, sow a seed right now for your visa. It was then I realized that that is all he was going about to do. And he has taken it as a regular thing to do. Now, these are the end time. You will meet all of that. Different people will wake up to do whatever they feel like doing. Now, what does the word of God say? What does the word of God say to the ministers at the end time? When we read Haggai, let me ask you to return to Haggai and see what are your own instructions. I don't just want to speak about all of this without giving you your own challenge. In Haggai, I want you to note what the Bible says. We read from verse 3, and then I will draw your attention to verse 4. Yet now, be what? Be strong. In the midst of all of this, what is God demanding for me to be? Be strong. Be strong. He said to Timothy, he said, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. End time requires strength. End time requires personal roots. End time will demand that you know what you believe, and that you know who you believe, and that you have a personal standing with God, that no matter what is going on, you have remained unchanging, immovable. You have remained focused. that which God has given you, you are not going to exchange it like Esau sold his own birthright for a spoon of pottage. Be strong. Tell somebody by your side, said, end time demands that you should be strong. Be strong. Be strong. You see that in that verse 4 about 3 or 4 times. Now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua. And be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord. Walk, for I am with you. Now, that's the second instruction for you. Do what? Walk. End time demands hard labor. End time demands that those who are called into the ministry, they cannot handle it with levity. They cannot handle it carelessly. The time of harvest is not the time to sleep. The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of harvest is like chewing with a broken tooth. May you never disappoint the Lord. Amen. This is the time for hard work. If any of you seriously want to serve God, this is the time to do so. If you just ring the bell and you just speak a message, there are so many young girls who will respond. They want to know the Lord. They want to be instructed. They want to be taught. End time will bring in so many souls. But what it demands is what? Hard work. The Bible said, be strong and do what? And walk. I am with you, says the Lord. What again is God asking you to do? In these days of his divine visitation, with all that will come around us, with all that we will be seeing all along, the Bible is saying, fear not. Hallelujah. Everything will be happening as if you should shiver inside. But the Spirit of God is asking me to also say to you this morning, do what? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I will keep my spirit within you and I will walk with you. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Now finally, what are your own response? What are the challenges that God is demanding that you must bring at this critical point of the end time as women in God's service? As women in God's service. Now, can I beg you? Contend for the faith. What did I say you should do? Contend for the faith that was once delivered to us. That was once delivered to our fathers. Contend for the faith. Everything is going to be happening to shift the attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is going to be happening. Our sister was just leading us to thank God and to pray. And the issue of gay marriages. And it's spreading. Little here and there. It's in Africa. Some nations are being put under pressure to sign it into law. Contend for the faith. Contend for the truth of the word of God. If you don't, your children will be swept away. If you don't, if there are no people who are standing as custodians of the truth, and who will not let go, no matter what is going on, the enemy will want, if it were possible, to sweep away all the treasures of the house and replace it with empty activities. Contend for the faith. Will you do that? Will you do that? Preach the word. I don't say you should tell stories. Preach the undiluted word of God. Be consistent with the undiluted word of God. The only hope for the end time is the word of God that is faithfully preached. The only hope for our marriages, are you hearing me, is to preach the word. If we don't, all kind of theories, all kind of ideas have been planted by the devil everywhere to overwhelm and to swallow up the truth and to turn the purpose of God upside down. The ministers of the end time, what did that say you must do? Preach the word. Preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by it. Be at hand and be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preacher of the word, you are to do what? Preach the word of God. Don't be afraid. Oh, I will lose my members. I'm sorry, it's because you don't have a message. Those who have message of the word of God to preach, I want to tell you, God's word properly preached is magnetic. God's word properly preached and properly emphasized is attractive. It will draw those who really, really are looking for something genuine. I thought if I kept preaching the word of God as I've been preaching, I would have been thrown away long ago. Some friends told me, say, Bragbile, this thing you are preaching, you will not go anywhere with it. We know it is true, but we can't preach it in this present situation. And I told them, I said, well, you know, I don't want crowd, number one. I am not planning to succeed. I only want to go to heaven. I don't want to be popular. I just want to be holy. All I want is to be a Christian. And God has shown me the man to follow. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Sometime I will just sing my song. I just remind myself, I have known this way and I will not go back. But you see, I thought that if I stand by the truth, if I teach the word of God, if I refuse to bend, even when my friends, colleagues are bending, I thought I would have been totally thrown out. I thought nobody would listen to me. But I want to tell you the truth. The word of God is attractive. The word of God is magnetic. All those who are ordained to go to heaven, they will come to it. All those who are yearning for the glory of God, they will come to it. Can I say to you, dear sisters, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Don't reduce the word of God. Don't say, if I preach, they will go away. Don't be a puppet on the pulpit. What did I say? You should not be on the pulpit. Don't be a puppet. Don't let the church member make eyes to you and you become a stammerer. You are a servant of God, not a servant of men. You ought to please God, not men. Are you hearing me at all? If you are a minister of the end time, there's going to be a lot of challenges. A lot of challenges. It will look as if, oh, everybody is going. This man's church has grown. This man's church has gone far. Don't be intimidated by that kind of thing. Preach the word. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own loss, what will they do? They shall heap to themselves teachers. You know when the Bible said they will heap. What does it mean to heap? About. So I said, so there will be so plenty. Plenty of preachers who are saying nothing. We have come to that end time when anybody can just open a shop and call it church. And say whatever he likes to say. Because it's the time of harvest. People will gather. But don't forget, whatever you do, oh yes, sherewo. Oh yes, sherewo. Koto wole ogo. Oh yes, sherewo. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we shall give account of ourselves. What we did while we are in the body. Whether good or bad. Do you know you give account of every message you preach? You give account of every utterance that came out of your mouth. The pulpit where you are is to declare the word of God. It's not for show. It's not a fashion parade. The pulpit is ordained as a place to declare the oracles of the word of God. When you come into the pulpit, you are under obligation to preach the truth. Even if you will die preaching the truth, how glorious will it be? Some of our men have died by the altar preaching the word of God. Why will you be a coward? Can I ask you, if your husband has stopped preaching the truth, stand and plead with God and tell your husband, if it is belly problem, if it's because of money to give you, that's why he is twisting the word of God. Can you take a decision this morning? I will not eat from such kind of money. I will not jeopardize the glory of God for that which is ephemeral. Will you agree with me this morning? We will preach the word. We will be instant preaching the word. We will resist diluting the word of God. And as women of God, you have power. Your power of influence. You're going to kneel down before God and say, Father, the glory is coming, but I must not lose my crown. I must not be swept away. Stand up as we pray together. I will preach the word. I will take my stand. I will serve the Lord. I will fulfill the ministry to which God has called me. I will not compromise. I will not, oh God, give in to seducing spirit, doctrines of demons, activities of the end time. Neither will my husband do so. I will travail on my knees until my husband does the right, until he keeps preaching the truth, until he remains faithful to the word of God. Money will not be our pleasure. I will serve the Lord. Lord, I will serve the Lord. Lord, I will serve you with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Reke shanda ya makuria. Masubo robo shanda rabasaila. Put your hand in the hand of God this morning. I know you started well somewhere. I know you started somewhere. Some of you joined your husband even to suffer. How will you abandon the faith now? How will you go back now? Tell the Lord, in this end time, oh God, I will stand for you. My husband, my children, all those that are under my hand, we will serve the Lord. We will preach the word. We will remain true. We will remain faithful. Thank you, Father. Oh God. Oh God and Father. Strengthen the hand of your daughters. Mobilize their hearts. That in this end time, oh God, the great things you will do it in righteousness. We will see genuine harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. Lord,
the glory of the former house will not be compared with the glory of this latter house. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.